Morning, we're joined by Karen Finch, CEO of Legally Yours, and a passionate advocate for lawyers' mental health, to discuss well-being in the legal profession. Karen, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on. I'm really excited to be on the show.
Now, according to the Black Dog Institute, lawyers working in law firms exhibited high rates of depressive symptoms and suicidal ideation, with young lawyers being the most vulnerable amongst them. In your experience, what makes lawyers and particularly young lawyers so vulnerable to these emotional and mood disorders?
I think it goes back to the character of who we are, of who these lawyers are. So, you know, certainly at school, you know, we are probably the high achievers. We're the ones that want to do the best. We've got these sort of perfectionist kind of mannerisms. And I think that when you go into university and you start your law degree, I mean, certainly the experience I had, and I still hear to this day, is that you're told you're part of the elite, you know, that you're so intelligent and creative and this is amazing. And I think what that does is it sets us up thinking that we have to be really high achievers in life. And so then we graduate and we go through our training contract and we get into these law firms. And I think that, you know, essentially what happens is that we are sold this version of success, which is you have to work really, really long hours. There's so much internal competition between all of the young lawyers, you know, who can sit at their desk and bill the most hours. And so I think what it does is that from the very early on in your career, all you see your value to the firm is how much you can bring in terms of dollar value, you know, equated to your actual time. It's actually got nothing to do with the value or the quality of the work that you're doing in. So I would say it's a real mixture of probably the character and personality type that does go into law. And I think it's also the actual system that we've created with these billable units and billable hours and the way that the profession values internally lawyers and sets them up, you know, for internal competition within the firm. So, you know, and there's a lot of micromanagement too in those earlier days. You know, we're told in our law degree, you know, how creative we are and how we've, you know, got these brilliant minds. But certainly the reality of when you practice, it's all about, you know, micromanagement. You can't send emails without a managing partner looking at it. You know, it can be a really intense environment. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of sense that if you're not achieving and you're not, you know, doing what the firm wants you to do, then you're a failure. And that's the other thing with lawyers. I think we don't naturally kind of, we're not attuned into failure. We tend to think that, you know, as again, it's this sort of perfectionism. And I think for us, we, you know, you're either achieving and you're a success or you're a failure and there's nothing in between. And we really need to change that, because law is all about, you know, experimentation, it's creativity, it's empathy, it's output, it's trusted advice. So we need to really flip that. But unfortunately, that's why I think a lot of young lawyers are really vulnerable in that situation.
Now, Sydney Uni's Brain and Mind Institute has reported that 33% of lawyers and 20% of barristers suffer from disability and distress due to depression, which they often self-medicate with substances such as alcohol. We've talked a little bit about those younger lawyers and coming out of uni and straight into a law firm. What pressures do you think that senior lawyers and barristers in those traditional legal environments are facing that you might not find maybe in other professions, or what's it that's particularly unique about these pressures that people are facing?
Well, again, I think it's almost just a follow through. So, you know, you think about this is where what we're told and how we treated, you know, in our early days. And then as we kind of raise through the ranks of a traditional firm and we sort of get into that management style, there's this real culture of, well, this is how I was managed and this is how I was taught to be a good lawyer. And so they actually then, it's sort of almost like a cycle of, I guess, a little bit of abuse. So then you do it to the younger generation coming up. And I would actually say a lot of it is because we as a profession, a legal profession, we have no understanding of what our value is to clients, and what our value is in terms of what we're giving, our output. So I think a lot of the problem becomes, you know, I would say 99.9% of people that go into law do it because they want to help people. And then the reality becomes it's all about making money. And that doesn't sit well with our own internal values and our ethics. And I think, you know, we get to sort of that level where we've, you know, become very reliant on the money. You know, we may have got a big mortgage and, you know, we've got a family and we've got pressures, and then we can only just keep going in what we know. So I would say there's this sort of really toxic version of success, of what we see as making a successful lawyer, which has to be someone that's very unemotional, you know, just works ridiculously long hours. There's a real acceptance in legal that you shouldn't have work-life balance or whole balance. It's really, you're a lawyer and that's it, and everything else needs to be sacrificed in order to be a good lawyer. So I would say, you know, there's all those pressures coming in, and, you know, we just don't know who we're supposed to be. And so what I actually see a lot of is then lawyers leaving and going elsewhere and going into other professions because they feel like if they can't hit that kind of persona and version of success, then they can't be a lawyer, which is incredibly sad.
Yeah, absolutely, especially considering how much time and effort and blood and sweat absolutely. And tears goes into becoming a lawyer.
Absolutely. And we, you know, as I said, you know, and I mentioned before, I think there's a lot of altruism that we want to do it because we actually want to help people.
Yeah.
And, you know, then we sort of come and we crush these lawyers' spirit through the actual sort of the traditional system that we have in play.
Now, we've seen bodies like SafeWork begin investigations into some of those top tier law firms regarding hours worked by their staff and unhealthy HR practices, which is what we've been touching on this morning. Why do you think it's taken so long for this to happen? This seems like it's been happening for as long as there have been lawyers around.
But I think it's just an acceptance. There's a culture of acceptance that this is the way it should be. And this is the way, you know, the way that it all happened. So I would just say that, you know, until very, very recent times, we haven't thought that there was any other way to be a lawyer. There was no other way to practice. You know, we've accepted that, you know, our standing in community is incredibly terrible. People don't respect us anymore. You know, there's so much begrudgingness when you go and approach a lawyer. And as a profession, we've just sort of accepted that's the way it is. And I think, you know, it's taken so long because no one probably complained. No one's actually said anything because we've just, as an industry, we've just really accepted that this was, you know, how it's been and always been. I mean, an interesting side note to that, I mean, I think a lot of this comes from, you know, how the system has set up how we value you know, what the lawyers do, and it's all around these billable units and billable hours and those sorts of things. Well, that only came into play in the 1980s. Prior to the 1980s, we never used to bill on billable hours. It was always on output and what value we were giving to clients. We just didn't call it fixed fee or value-based pricing, which is what we call it now. So it is a really new concept. It was introduced because the accounting profession told lawyers that they needed to be more efficient. And so we started looking at how we, you know, spent our time internally within a firm, but it was never meant to be a practice that was then, you know, our invoicing structure with clients and how we interacted with clients. So when you start to think about that and think about how it used to be, we can certainly return to that. It's not like as though we are so tied to the billable hour that if we don't do it,
the world will
fall apart. Absolutely. But I must say, I'm so pleased that they're starting to look at this because it is a huge issue. We are a profession in crisis, and it needs to be taken extremely seriously. And these partners in these traditional firms need to understand what it is that they're doing and that they are playing with their staff's lives.
There's obviously a lot that needs to be done internally and a lot that needs to be done from upper management down. Do you think, you mentioned there, you know, the way that people are perceiving lawyers and the way that lawyers are kind of held in our communities. Do you think then that there needs to also be social change in the wider community?
Well, I mean, I've been talking about this for the last sort of 5 to 6 years. You know, lawyers can only practice if clients seek their services and they pay for their services. And so I think the community plays a role here. So I've actually built a network of lawyers through Legally Yours who only provide fixed fee and value-based pricing services. So if clients choose to go to those lawyers because those lawyers won't give them bill shock, they'll actually have a value conversation up front, they will tell them what they're actually going to give them and their output, you know, they're really sending a message that they want lawyers to, I guess, you know, interact in this way. Mm. And the wonderful thing about as soon as you start taking out the toxicity of, you know, on the clock. You know, imagine trying to build a relationship with someone. You know, you're on a date with someone and they're looking at their watch constantly in every 6 minutes going, you know.
We have 13 minutes and 42 seconds left.
Before I'm going to start charging you. You can't build a relationship. And let's face it, when you break it down to the very basic, what is it that you go and see a lawyer for? There's a relationship there because you're trusting them with a problem or with some advice or with your business or with your family relationship. And you cannot build a trust relationship when you're constantly, you know, looking at the clock. Someone doesn't know what they're getting. It's just completely ridiculous. I mean, like, when you break it down to that, it's completely
best not talk
ridiculous.
For too long to our lawyer or they'll charge me $1,000,000 and then I'll be...
Absolutely. And this is what we see all the time. Is that the relationship between the client and their own lawyer turns toxic really, really quick. Mm. And of course it would, you know, because all of a sudden the client's getting these invoices and they're thinking, hold on, but for half of that conversation we talked about your holiday and you've just billed me for the holiday chat. Like, and then the client stops talking.
Glad you had a good time in Fiji. Don't want to pay for it.
I don't want to pay for the discussion. So, you know, it's really, you know, when you break it down, it's trying to get that trusted advice back in. And I think, you know, if in general community understand that there is a different way that these lawyers can practice. I mean, we've kind of created, there's a term we use for it. So there's big law or traditional law, and now there's new law. And new law lawyers are the fixed fee value-based pricing lawyers. They're using technology. They're delivering their legal services in line with how clients want them delivered, whether it's via Zoom, Skype, gone are the days where clients feel like they have to travel into the city, sit in front of a marble fountain, wait half an hour before their lawyer even comes out. And say, you know, it's just not the way it is. And we're a service industry, so let's get back to giving some really great service.
Absolutely. Before I let you go, really quickly, what advice, if you could give any to young people starting out in the career, would you? So that they're not overwhelmed by all of this.
Look, I would just say, and I want to make this point really clear, there has never, ever been a better time to be in law than right now, because we have got these sort of really burgeoning emergence of these phenomenal role models in law. So what I would really advise is, if big law, traditional law is not for you, and look, let's face it, sometimes it's great. Sometimes some law students and law graduates go, look, I want to get that experience. Absolutely go for it. But if it's not for you, don't think that you've failed and leave. There are definitely other versions of success out there. There are some amazing, phenomenal role models. You know, women like Anne-Marie Rice in Brisbane, Clarissa Raywood, The Happy Lawyer, Happy Life. We've got groups like the Innovum Group where they're talking about and teaching lawyers the art of the value conversation. There's so much excitement. So reach out. You can reach out to me at Legally Yours and we can guide you and get you connected up and mentored. So the point that I really want to stress is, don't just think that there's one way to be a lawyer, and if you can't be that, then you're out and, you know, you've got to go somewhere else. There are so many new exciting firms, there's new ways to deliver, and it's a really good time to be a lawyer. So, you know, stay in the profession.
Karen, unfortunately, we'll have to leave it there, but thank you so much for your time this morning. Really appreciate it.
Oh, no, absolutely. Thank you.